We do have a bunch more coming. Listen, we've got a truckload. They'll be here any minute. And I thank the Lord for young people. I was at Vacation Bible School yesterday. I got drafted to be Apostle Paul, the tent maker. And I went 24 hours without any sleep. And I never complained one minute. I loved every minute of it. For little souls like that right there, I was willing to spread myself beyond measure. And if you know the Lord, like you ought to know Him, you ought to be willing to do it too. Because God blessed me so much, I wish I could have done more. Our Sunday school lesson this morning, if you don't have a Sunday school book, you can open up your Bible to Genesis chapter number 1. And our lesson is entitled, God's Gifts to Man. The Bible said every good gift cometh down from above. God does give good gifts. And beware of them that give you gifts that aren't from God. They might not be as good as they appear to be. But our golden text is Genesis 1 verse 27, talking about the Creator. And it says, so God created man in His own image. You want to know what God looks like? Look in the mirror. We're made in the image of God. In the image of God created He Him. And this is important. Male and female created He them. That's so important. Our introduction, all of creation would be meaningless without the created man that God put in the creation of all the things that He made. I mean, what would be the meaning of the earth if there were no one created to make habitation on it? What meaning would the abundance of the earth hold if there were no one created to eat the fruit thereof? Just imagine all the apples and all the peaches and tomatoes and stuff that would be just wasted, and a lot is wasted. The rivers of waters, they wouldn't be drank. The streams would run for no reason if there were no humans to benefit from the rivers and the streams. Or even navigating the rivers. All of creation would lose its significance without the creature God called man. All of creation centers around the Creator. We can scarcely take it all in. I mean, there's just really more than meets the eye. Scientists, so-called, think they've got answers, but actually only the Bible has the answers. Science only has questions. And they look at it and they say, somehow this thing evolved. Somehow it was a big bang. If you're willing to believe that, I've got a bridge I'm wanting to sell, and I'll talk to you after the service. But we can scarcely talk it all in, or take it all in. I mean, it's just magnificent how God done everything. The designer of the universe made it all just like it needed to be, made it just for us. And the more we dig into the depths of the earth's surface, the more we discover the great abundance of the things that God created. There's a history that proclaims a Creator. I was listening to a preacher preach on the way up here, and I listen to a lot of preachers. I like preachers. I think God chose the foolishness of preaching to save him to believe. But he talked about, and I haven't been there, maybe you have, but he talked about going out to the petrified forest. And he said out there, there's huge trees just laying there. I mean, no reason, just there, evidence of something. Of course, don't say the flood of Noah. We don't want to get too Bible this morning. But they bring a question to man. They see these great big fossilized trees. They say 6 million years old. Scripture and verse, please. They see the Grand Canyon, 15,000 miles long, something like 1,000 mile or 1,000 feet deep or something. I've never been to the Grand Canyon. But you see that, you see the grandeur of that, and you say, boy, something big must have happened here. And it's nothing but a drainage ditch to drain the waters off the face of the earth. The creation of God is so evident everywhere we look. And that's just a couple of things taken into thought. And the evidence is overwhelming, and yet we still live in denial. We still somehow want to try to take the Creator out of creation. And we explore every corner of the surface of the world and we behold the wondrous beauty. And all the things that we discover and enjoy points to one thing. I taught Vacation Bible School yesterday, little young children like the ones that went back there in the back. And as I looked into their eyes, I love little children trying to plant some seed. I said, is there anybody here that can tell the number of the stars? And they all said, no. And I said, is there anybody here that can name the stars? They said, no. I said, well then, where did they come from? And one little girl raised her hand. I said, what, honey? She said, God made them. I said, that's right. I said, He made them. He numbered them. He knows the names of them. And He put it up there so when we look up there, we can see the evidence of the fact that He created all things. And even though that is evident, we still deny it. Men pursue to achieve somehow to disprove creation. And the more they seek, the more the conclusion is evident that we're not our own. We were created in the image of God. And with all the discoveries that nature beholds, man is still restless about his Creator who designed it all. And man should search and he should find so that he might be united with his Creator. And our greatest quest in life, or to be to seek after God and to seek Him first. And the Bible said in Acts chapter 17, if we would happily seek after Him, we'd find Him. He's not very far from any one of us. Isaiah 45:18 said He created the heavens. He formed the earth. He established it and He formed it to be inhabited. I want to read you something here real quick and I'll get right into the lesson. I've got a lot of territory to cover here. I'm full this morning, but Proverbs chapter 3, verse 19 says, the Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. By His knowledge the depths are broken up and the clouds drop down the dew. Everybody saw it rain yesterday. Explain that. Our first verse, verse 26, Genesis chapter 1. Said, and God said, anytime God says something, you'll just open up both ears. Turn hearing aids up, turn everything else off. Because when God says something, it's something worth hearing. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Man's creation was one of divine wisdom. When God said, let there be light, there was light. When God said, let there be a firmament, there was a firmament. But now God says, let us make man. Job 37. Let me turn real quick there because I certainly don't want to be inerrant here. You listen to this. Job 37, verse 7, talking about God. Said, He sealeth up the hand of every man that all men may know His work. Looking in your face is the endorsement of your Creator. My fingerprint, if I was to compare my fingerprint to Brother Vernon's, it'd be different. If I compared it to Brother Anthony's, it'd be different. And there's no other way to explain it. The FBI know about it. They'll track you with it. But yet in the Word of God, back before they had computers and all this infinite knowledge at the fingertips, it said that God sealed up the hand of every man, that all men may know His work. You can know it if you want to. Plenty of evidence. The man here, God made him in His image. The Trinity speaking when it says, let us. The Trinity. A lot of people don't believe in Trinity. That's okay. It's a free world. You can go to hell in America. You can go to hell in Africa. You can go to hell in China, Russia. I'll tell you one thing. If you got any sense at all, when God speaks, you'll listen. And the Trinity, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost are in council about man. And they want to make man in the image of God. And it really ought to be a matter of common sense. We don't really need a scientific mind to understand this expression. All we need is just common sense. Somebody said, what's common sense? That means you believe what you know. We'll come up with the right answer if we'll just take a common sense approach. First of all, the image has to do with God's character and holiness. In the beginning, man was made holy. He was holy. He was a holy individual. He was capable of continuing that unsoiled holy nature. Secondly, the man had mental superiority given over all the other creation. Your mind. Well, we only use about 1/100 the capacity of your mind. Your mind has more capacity than the most supercomputer of anything in this world. And we scratch our head and say, I wonder how that could be. We've got the capacity not just to know God, but we've got the capacity to understand creation if we wouldn't frustrate the grace of God. But man was made a holy individual. And he had the capacity of continuing in that direction, but he was tempted in Genesis chapter 3, and by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and in Adam all died, and in Christ all live. But I'll tell you, in the beginning he was made right. The mental superiority that was given to him was sufficient. The mind, the more you examine it, the more you understand the ability of the mind, it's beyond our comprehension. You can learn and never bring the mind to the point of saturation. You want to be smart? I suppose Albert Einstein, they'd say he's the smartest man in the world. You know what Albert Einstein said about this? He said the greatest science in the world is the Bible. He said, I wish I could understand. I ain't smart as Albert Einstein, but I understand the Bible. I understand the author. I know the Bible said in Psalm 68, verse 11, the Lord gave the word, great is the company of those that published it. I understand it didn't come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. I understand that in the volume of the book it's written of Him. I understand that it didn't come from man, but it came from God. And God gave us His word. You do well. Take heed, not let it slip. Give the most earnest heed to it. But your mind is capable of learning all you want to learn. Somebody said, I want more of God, Brother Eddie. Let go of something. Put some of this down. Pick some of this up. I've personally read this Bible all the way through 17 times. And it said the same thing every time. It said, God loves me. He's there to help me. He told me I had a problem. He said He had the cure. He could fix it. And I'll tell you right now, but the only problem I see is people. The Bible said you fall on this rock and you'll live. If this rock falls on you, it'll grind you to powder. Two young men yesterday, my wife told me this morning, had a boating accident. And I don't know the status of them. I know they're looking for one. They did find one. I don't know if both died. One lived, one died. I just know they're looking for one. But you know, in life's busy schedule, they were young. They may have been too busy for God, but they wasn't too busy for death. And I don't know the state of them. They may have both survived. I don't know. But you'll think about eternity this morning. And don't be so busy in your mind. Don't be so busy in your life that you ain't got time for God. Because I'll tell you one thing, if those young boys did die, and I don't know, but if they did, you know what the first thing come to their mind? I wish I'd made time for God. Because death is going to show up. Whether you've made time for eternity or not, it's going to show up. But the mind, we're to give it consideration. We're to take into that consideration all the features that man has that was placed in him that's above all the animals. And they say animals have instincts, and they know what to do. Well, who gave it to them if they do? Who told them to fly south for the winter? Who told them that? The Bible said nature will teach us if you just let it. Animals, in some ways, no more than humanity does. The Bible said the ox knoweth its crib. And God said, my people know not their maker. But those superior features, the more you look, the more you discover the image of the Creator. The Bible said in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 7, that people are ever learning, never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. It's there. They wouldn't strain a gnat and swallow a camel. Verse 27, God created man in His own image, and the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. What's mentioned three times in that verse? Right. Three times in one verse. That we didn't evolve, that we were created. Not only that, a detailed account is given. The distinction between our body and soul is given. Adam was made of the dust of the earth, and it's a scientific fact. If you decide to be cremated, it'll end up being a handful of dirt. You take your cremated remains and a handful of dirt, if you accidentally mix them together, there's no way to separate them.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, you may. I'll welcome it.
Do you think the cremation is wrong?
I just know this. From the dust I was taken, from the dust I'll return. This body is just a tent, 80 weeks living in. One day this tent's going to give way. And it's going to, the Bible said we know if this earthly tabernacle will be dissolved, it's going to dissolve. They can stitch it up. They can put all kind of stuff on it, try to have a little oil on it, maybe a little. All that stuff. One day this tent's going to cease. Now I'm not going to have nowhere to live. The Bible said we know if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, we have an eternal one in the heaven made without hands, whereupon we groan, desire to be clothed upon. When I get in my eternal tent, they can do whatever they want to this body. They can make scientific discoveries. They can try to find out what made 80 weight tick. I don't really care. I'm just borrowing this tent right now. Only reason it's animated is because it's got a soul in it. If my soul leaves this body today, y'all find this tent laying right here and you'll say, wonder what happened to him. What made it alive is gone. And now all that's left is the tent. I don't know. I mean, there's been people went through meat grinders, fell in acid baths, all kind of stuff. I heard a volcano erupted and three people died. There's all kind of terrible ways to die. But the worst way to die is to die lost.
Amen.
That's the worst way. God gave us a body made out of the dust of the earth. But also God breathed into that body and it become a what? A living soul. You see, God's got the life. The Bible said in Him was life. And the life was the light of men. Without the breath of life, Adam couldn't live. Without the breath of Jesus, I couldn't go to heaven. He gave me eternal life. I became not just a living soul. I became a son of God. I got begotten by the Word. I got born of the Spirit. And I got in the family of God. Now my citizenship's heaven. And I'll tell you what, praise God, where He is, I'll be. I'm already seated together in heavenly places. But God made Adam of the dust of the ground, and He made him in His own image. And that's how the creation of man took place. The soul came after God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the word created, not only mentioned three times in this verse, but it ought to overthrow all the thoughts about evolving or evolution, yet still will cleave to a lie from hell and deny all the overwhelming evidence of our Creator. But you notice it said He made them male and female. The creation expresses also the unity of the husband and the wife, the unity of life, of the soul mate, the feeling of the home, when it said, they too shall be one flesh. Now I know the world, they've got that all perverted and out of whack, and we're making all kinds of exceptions, accommodations, but I'll tell you what, from the beginning Jesus said it wasn't so. God made it right. And all we've done It's messed things up. And what a mess we're making right now. They're ordaining gays in the churches today. Back when people used to blush, they didn't do stuff like this. But they're ordaining churches in churches today, gays and lesbians, homosexuals. And they say they don't see no problem with it. That's just because they don't know enough Bible, know no better. But I'll tell you what, the Bible calls it abomination in the sight of God. And there's all kind of evidence how God feels about it. He said you can look at Sodom and Gomorrah and see where God overthrowed it with an overthrow, making them example. Those here ever should live ungodly. I'll just tell you right now how God feels about it. They better repent. They better come out of it. They better prepare to meet God, because I'll tell you right now, I don't care if they voted unanimously. I don't care if it was 108% says it's okay. What did God say? He said it's sin. Abomination. He said if a man lie with mankind's womankind, they've committed abomination. They'll both die. That a lot of them Hollywood actors are gays, homosexuals. And one of them plays this wizard in this movie, The Lord of the Rings. His name's Gandalf. He's a big old guy. He's finally come forward and announced he's gay. But let me say this real quick and finish this lesson. Every motel that guy stays in, he opens up the drawer and sees if there's somebody put a Gideon Bible in there. And if they did, he takes it out of the drawer and he opens it up. Leviticus 18:19 cuts it out. And he thinks that changes something. I got news for him, buddy. They could burn all the Bibles in the world. Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, my word won't. I'll tell you right now, buddy, God's going to take the same word. There's another that judges. Jesus said, the word that I speak, it'll judge you. And one day, buddy, he's not going to be able to cut out Leviticus 18:19. He's not going to be able to cut out Romans chapter 1. He's going to face God just like everybody else, lost and undone. If he's not saved without God, without hope in the world, he's going to stand at the great white throne judgment. And he's going to wish he'd made room for God. Amen. Amen. Verse 28 says, God didn't just create them, but I like this. God blessed them. Amen. Now, three times it's mentioned God created man in verse 27. In verse 28, God blessed them. Boy, I want the blessing of God. I want you to be blessed. I've done prayed for you this morning. I want you to be blessed. I want to be blessed. And the good news is we can be blessed. God wants to bless. He's willing to bless. And He will bless if you'll come to Him in His terms. And God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea. We got people now, they'll spend all kind of money trying to save the spotted owl, trying to save the lizard, and trying to save the cricket or whatever. God told man not to do nothing but have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. He gave them His blessing, a blessing of happiness, a blessing to live. And God told them to be fruitful and multiply. And the true family is composed of one husband and one wife bound together in truth and unity. The commandment also is a blessing from God. All nature is brought under man's control to minister to it. But when man regains the image of God, he will also gain his dominion over nature. He didn't place the sun and the moon and the stars in the control of the hands of man, but he gave him just a little bit to have dominion over. And for a large to great extent, we've not done anything of what we're here to do. But man is not taking this responsibility seriously, and we've proved ourselves unworthy and also wasters of the resources of nature, and all for the quest of gain and money, I guess. I don't know. I don't know what runs this world. I just know somewhere that someone's got an ocean of money. They don't need it, but they're never going to be satisfied, because only one thing does satisfy, and that's Jesus. I'm wealthier than they are because I've got the true riches. But anyway, verse 29, God said, behold, I've given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And the world was not just a gift to man, but the world also expressed God's love to man, teaching His truth. Vegetables and fruits were given as food to man. Every herb, every manner of fruit, except for the one tree that was pronounced the knowledge of good and evil. God told Adam, He said, of all the trees of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day thou eatest thou shalt surely die. All was given except one. You put 100 children in a room. Well, let's say this. We put 2 children in a room with 100 toys. That might be better. When we put 2 children in a room with 100 toys, they'll fight over one. That one tree is the only thing they had to abstain from, and yet it drew, by the help of the devil, drew them to it. And they've done what God told them not to do. And death passed upon all. Verse 30, and to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I've given every green herb for meat, and it was so. The support of the whole creation was based upon vegetation. And you let all the vegetables die, all the green things die, and you'll find out how far you'll go. You won't go very far at all. I don't care if you eat meat only. Well, cows got to have something to eat. And nature's got to have something to eat. If ain't nothing for them to eat, they're going to die. So what are you going to eat? God set the order of everything. Verse 31, God saw that everything that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God saw His creation, and He still does see it. Matter of fact, the eyes of the Lord run to and fro on the earth. And He that made all, He still sees all. And when God reviewed, His answer was, it was all very good. It was all in agreement to the Creator. It was serviceable to man for whom God had appointed to be Lord of the creation. It was good for God's glory to regard Him as being the Creator, the chief of all things. The invisible image of the Creator's glory is manifest in the creation. And man left his high and holy estate and degenerated into a life of rebellion and sin. You know why they're able to sell leather and Harley Davidsons and chains? Because men love darkness rather than light. Their deeds are evil. People, instead of going the good way, they'll go the hard way. The Bible said the way of transgressors is hard. And then they'll blame God, shake their fist. God, if you love me, why am I thus? And they'll use their throat for a funnel. They'll use their lungs to smoke dope. They'll use their mouth to pop pills. And then they'll live a lifestyle that brings AIDS. And then they shake their fists and say, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Man has lived a degenerated life of rebellion and sin. And thus a curse. It's not just been put upon the earth once, twice. Everything you eat's cursed. If you can find some way to eat something that didn't come from this earth, you'll live a whole lot longer. Genesis chapter 2 verse 1 says, thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the host of them. Creation now has manifested from the Creator. Verse 2 says, on the seventh day God ended His work which He'd made, and He rested on the seventh day from all the works that He made. God ended His work of creation. He didn't get tired. I used to read that verse, Brother Vernon, and I thought God got tired and sat down. But He just stopped creating. He didn't get tired. He doesn't get weary. He doesn't faint. The Bible said, He that keepeth Israel neither sleepeth nor fainteth. I mean, He don't get tired. He just stopped creating on the seventh day. All that He had done, He finished it. And He ended that work. And He rested from the work. There was nothing else that needed to be done. Matter of fact, on the cross, Jesus finished His work. When He said, it's finished. The work of redemption, as hard as it was, against such contradiction of sinners, against Himself, He says, it's finished. I don't know how in the world you help humanity, but I'll tell you what, Jesus done His best. Amen. I never seen a generation like ours that, I'll tell you what, boy, swallow a line of heartbeat and choke on truth. Verse 3, God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work which God created and made. Jesus told us that the Sabbath was made for man. And a lot of people put so much emphasis on the day that they forget the meaning for the day. And you read your Bible, you'll find out every work Jesus did, He purposely done it on the Sabbath day. On purpose. So He can somehow get through their mind that it's not the day, but the reason the day was given is so important. They had regard for the day, but it had no regard for who gave them the day. And sometimes we get in those dilemmas. And Jesus purposely done every work He done on the Sabbath day. He's Lord of the Sabbath. But we do need to regard the Lord's day. As a matter of fact, if we did regard the Lord's day, this church would be full. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25 says, "Not forsaking assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, so much the more as we see that day approaching." The church is to be full if we did regard the day of the Lord. John said, "I was in the Spirit." And notice he didn't say on the Sabbath day. He said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." The Jew has the Sabbath day. We've got the Lord's day. And in that we keep Sunday. We fulfill man's obligation when we go to church on Sunday. We've had 6 days to do whatever we want to. And God just asked for one day. And that one day we're to assemble in the house of God. We're to sing the songs of God. We're to praise the name of God. We're to bring somebody with us so they might know God. But that seventh day, God sanctified it. And it was a holy day because He rested from all the work which He had done. And we ought to put some reverence to the Lord's day. You ought to think about why you come this morning. Jesus told a bunch one day, He said, "What went you out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment?" Talking about John the Baptist. He said, "Did you miss the reason you went out there? What did you go out there for? Hear a man screaming out, 'Repent, the kingdom of heaven's at hand.'" You ought to think about why you come this morning. Probably surprise you. But I'll tell you one thing. God's glad to have you. I am too. We'll stop our Sunday school lesson right there. We preached last Sunday.